prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Well, hello and welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron, and with me, as always, is Ethan.
Hello.
Hello. Tonight is, obviously, it is, December 21st, 4 days from Christmas.
In perfect Christmas tradition, yes.
In perfect Christmas tradition, we are going to be talking what I think of as one of the most famous zombie stories of all times, with the resurrection and stuff of Jesus. But we're actually just going to maybe scale it down a little bit and just talk zombie movies. So with us tonight, we have my better half, Rachel. Say hello.
Hi.
And Ethan's far better half, Bethany.
Way better half. Much better looking, too.
Hello? That's not nice to Rachel.
No, much better looking than me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
It's Beth.
Well, it's how it came out.
That's what she said.
That is what she said.
Whoa.
And joining us over Skype is, I guess we'll call him fan favorite, Mr. James Louder. Say hello.
Hey.
Hey, how are you today, sir?
Great. How are you guys?
We're okay. Everything's a little bit chaotic here, but other than that, everything's normal.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Yeah. Yay.
Fan favorite, huh?
Chaos is good.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. He's our number one most downloaded show.
He is.
You better bring it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening.
He is. And
this is a great show.
You can rub that in the face of Christopher McLaughlin all you want, too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they download me more, so, you know.
Yeah. He's been on more, but they've downloaded you more, so hey, go figure.
So there you go. He's more of a podcast whore than you are.
Yeah.
He has quantity, I have quality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think it's all quality. And tonight got out of hand like I expected it to, because I said something on our Facebook feed about, hey, we should do a zombie show. And then everybody rushed at me. I actually almost had to turn some people away and other people couldn't make it. So luckily, it's only five of us.
Yay. Luckily, yes.
Yeah. So since it's five of us and experience tells me anything more than three guests makes the show like, go on and on and on. We're going to get right into geekly happenings. We're going to make it short, and we're just going to talk about some trailers that came out there. We're going to talk some zombies. So, what happened this week, zombie-wise, Ethan?
Zombie-wise?
Brains were eaten. Heads
were
exploded.
Well, it's getting colder, so the zombies are moving south.
Yes, moving south for the winter. What happened this, what are some trailers that came out? Anything you saw that you liked?
I know it's not that hugely popular of a movie with some people out there, but I did see the trailer for The Expendables 2, and it looks thoroughly entertaining like the first one was.
Well, so. You know, it's more of an announcement trailer, because it was just all like...
Well, it's got Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme and all the guys from the first movie.
Mm-hmm. And so. Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth, yes.
Arbitrarily, yes. Just kind of put him in there.
Just because he can, but hey, Chuck Norris, you know.
Yeah, hey, cool. You know. I mean,
I enjoyed the first movie. It was a lot of fun, and this looks like more of the same. So, and you know, Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger seem to have a bigger part in this one, which is fun. It's a movie for Ethan. It's a movie
it
for me.
A movie
I'm
for
not.
Ethan.
I won't drag you to it, Beth, but I will go see it.
Well,
also got the trailer for the new trailer for Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah.
And all I got to say is Christopher Lambert's in it, so we know it's going to suck.
Well, you know, he wasn't in Highlander 2.
He was in Highlander 2.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Yeah.
I know. But he wasn't in Mortal Kombat 2, which should have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Ooh. And he wasn't in The Source.
No.
Highlander The Source, yeah. No. So, yeah. Oof.
I don't know. I mean, I still stand firm with what I said before. I think the effects look good, but I don't care. We have the cackling of the hens.
And the purring of the cat.
And the purring of the cat.
And we have a purring of a cat now, yes.
The purring of the cat.
These are movies that, that of course, our significant others don't care about.
Well, I know that Rachel and I saw Sherlock Holmes 2 Game of Shadows last week, and attached to that one was the new trailer for The Dark Knight Rises, and Rachel liked that.
Oh, yeah, that trailer looks awesome.
It does look good. Hey, want to hear my impression of Bane?
Sure.
Sound just like him, don't I?
Yeah, but you know you got to work on the physique.
I got to work on the what?
Yeah, got to work on the physique.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
CGI.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, CGI.
Put on one of them green condoms.
Actually, to be fair, he sounds much clearer in the trailer than he does in the prologue.
Mm-hmm.
Quick little break away from the trailers there news-wise is Warner Brothers is worried because there's been a pretty negative reaction to his voice in the prologue, and Warner Brothers wants Christopher Nolan to change his voice, and Christopher Nolan promptly told him to go jump off a bridge and said, look, I'm going to mix again, I'll work on it, but we're not going to re-record his voice. I don't have time for that. And I'm cool with it, because why dumb down a movie for its audience?
Exactly. And he's, you know, he's been known to say, you know, you don't people who go to movies don't need to, you know, hear and understand every line of dialogue to get the movie. So
So not true. I need to hear and understand everything.
No,
you do?
I have actually said that I wish they had subtitles at movie
theaters.
Or
I ask lots of questions. It might be a woman thing. We like details.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So women want details and guys don't care.
Yeah,
so, hey.
Film's a visual medium, I say, and I could understand him well enough to. I wasn't like, "What the hell's going on?" I mean, I could tell what was going on.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's good enough for me. And then see, there was also what other trailers were there? I know there's The Hobbit.
Yeah,
I figured we'd lead out with that.
I think that's the
the Wrath of the Titans.
Oh yes, Wrath of the Titans, which looks like the sequel to Clash of the Titans. Oh wait, it is the sequel to Clash of the Titans.
Uh-huh.
That's not a good thing.
No,
it can't possibly be any.
It's like
good.
You said, you know, yeah. It's like you said, Aaron. The Iron Man 2 was, you know, the thing to say about Iron Man 2 was that it was a sequel to Iron Man 1. And Wrath of the Titans is the sequel to Clash of the Titans, and that's not a good thing.
No, not a good thing at all.
Yeah.
Not a good thing at all.
Yeah.
Especially when you fall asleep during the first one at the theater.
Yeah. I totally watched the original 1980 Ray Harryhausen. It's corny.
Oh, yeah.
It's cheesy.
It's a good movie.
I've seen it.
Much better.
It is much better.
Crappy,
yeah. It's a fun movie. It's a real fun movie.
It's, you know, the Medusa scene is pretty awesome. Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll just lead it out with the, how about the Hobbit trailer?
Yeah, it looks like a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, sure does.
It looks, you know, you got singing dwarves, and you got Gandalf doing his thing, and you got...
Gollum saying precious,
and that's about it.
It looks Hobbit-licious.
Yeah, it looks Hobbit-lish. I think Martin Freeman's going to do great.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
I think he's going to be wonderful.
I think I know what the quote-unquote cameos are going to be for Frodo and for old Bilbo is going to be. Is at the beginning of the trailer, he's talking about, oh, have I told you about all my adventures, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I hope.
It's going to be a framing for the story.
I hope so, and I hope that, like, you know, we're just not, like, interrupted. And then it goes back to, oh, my God, Bilbo got old, and, oh, my God, it's that guy from Milk Money, and, you know, stuff like that, so...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to see it. So,
I'll see it too, and
it comes out next Christmas.
I'm kind of excited about it, actually.
I love The Hobbit.
You know, they split it into two movies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay.
I love The Hobbit, and it's just like, I kind of get the suspicion.
I definitely like The Hobbit story better than the Lord of the Rings
story. I like it way better.
And the Lord of the Rings movies aren't bad, it's just
boring.
I think The Hobbit's going to be a bit more exciting.
There should
be a freaking dragon in it.
Should be more whimsical, and I kind of have my doubts it's going to have that whimsy of the book. But you know, hey, it's the movie, not the book, and I would be a hypocrite if I didn't say that. But I will see. James, have you seen any of these trailers at all?
I actually have not.
Yeah.
I've been up to my eyeballs in some editing and writing stuff in the last couple of weeks, so
Real
my
work.
Media exposure has been limited.
Well, that's probably a good thing because you know all these trailers. Yeah, every trailer we talked about today was just kind of like a debut trailer.
Right.
You know, it's not like the final theatrical trailer, like the, especially Expendables 2. I think that's like a minute long, like literally like 60 seconds, so.
Yeah, well, they're still filming that.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, they're still filming
Hobbit and all that.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I have several friends who are big-time Tolkien scholars, and I was watching their reaction to the Hobbit trailer more than actually having seen the trailer itself.
Yeah. So, everybody I know that is into that stuff seem pretty excited, so I don't know.
Right.
I mean, good for them, and you know, I hope it's as good as I want it to be, because I was not a fan of the Lord of the Rings books, and you know, the movies were.
I hated the books.
Yeah, they weren't fun to read. I didn't find them fun to read.
The Hobbit book was good.
I like the Hobbit. I didn't like Lord of the Rings.
I love reading the Hobbit.
So,
I read that like once a year.
And I've said it before, the Lord of the Rings books themselves kind of put me to sleep. So,
yeah. But
you know. There's so much walking. Why were they walking so
walking
much?
Oh, there's a lot of walking and eating in the Hobbit.
Like I said,
but
the movies
the
aren't
same.
Bad.
It wasn't as
well. It also wasn't three books.
Yeah, of walking.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I like it.
Anyway.
It should be good.
And this is the cut-down version of Geekly Happenings.
And this is the cut-down version of Geekly Happenings, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, Let's get to the zombies already.
Yeah, I think we are just going to get to the zombies. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our main topic discussion when we're going to talk about zombie films. And we are back. Yes, like I said, 4 days from Christmas, naturally, we're talking about zombie movies.
Brains.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. It just depends upon...
It's what a vegan zombie eats. Grains.
Oh, grains. Gotcha.
I'm just saying that's not fair right there.
What?
You have a holder for your... Yeah.
It's hands-free.
Uh-huh.
Cleavage, you gotta love it. At any rate, we are talking about zombie movies, and it's zombies and like zombie movies have really been taking off since
because we all know what's gonna happen. That's
2002.
Why.
Yeah,
we're preparing for the worst.
I mean, obviously they started, you know, like a long fucking time ago, but
yeah,
they, like the, like this current renaissance that we're going through, it, you know, you can pretty much tie it to 28 Days Later. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's a really interesting genre. This was a nerve-wracking list to put together for myself, personally.
It was difficult. It was
very
so hard.
Much so for me.
No, for me, it was going through this and realizing I maybe have only seen 20 zombie movies in my day, and several of them are god-awful, and it would never make them anywhere near a list.
What about Zombie Strippers? You seen that one?
I wanted to
can't
see
say
that.
That
hilarious.
I have seen House of the Dead, and let me tell you, it was not on the list.
No,
I hadn't even thought of that one until I was looking stuff up, and I was like,
oh,
no.
So, yes, yeah. I mean, this is a genre where you have, I mean, and in all
there's
the genres we talk about,
movies,
there are some bad ones. This one's got some fucking awful movies in it. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's true.
It's definitely a split. The movies are really worth watching, or mm-hmm. absolutely just worthless.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, some of them are so worthless, it's almost worth watching.
And it's since
I got a couple of those on my list.
And since zombies have gotten, you know, in vogue for a while now, it's become sort of the fodder for a lot of low budget sci fi B movies. And so, I mean, there's a ton of zombie movies out
there. Rachel and I are zombies for Halloween. You know, mm-hmm. so I mean, it's obviously
awesome.
It's
fun.
It's, you know, a very what am I thinking about? It's a very popular choice, but I've been into zombie movies for forever, mm-hmm. forever and
right.
ever, and I love them. And, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on this, James, because you're actually, you know, you're accomplished in this. I mean, you've written books on it.
Nervous.
I read The Triumph of the Walking Dead, the book that you edited, you helped put together, and absolutely, if you guys are listening to this, and if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, absolutely, I find it, you have to read it if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, personally. But what are some of your thoughts on this genre?
Well, you've already hit the main ones. I mean, the zombie films have been around for a long time, but there was a big wave of them in the 80s, and there were a number of really when you get to your list, you're going to find out there's a lot of really good movies from the 80s. I'm mm-hmm. sure that popped mm-hmm. up on everybody's mm-hmm. list. They went away for a while. Basically, what was interesting is the zombie stuff went away, went to Japan.
Code. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and showed up in all of the video games and everything else that kind of gestated the zombie genre stuff. And then when it came back through 28 Days Later, we had the flood of Resident Evil, House of the Dead.
So you do agree with me on that one?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 28 Days Later was the catalyst for the zombie renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yep. There's some good ones, and I want to be the first person to address the elephant in the room of The Walking Dead. Obviously, it's a very good comic book series, and it's also an excellent television show. I'm going to say right now, it's a television show. It's not a film. If we were including television shows on this, it'd be my number one.
It'd be my number one, too.
Agreed.
I love The Walking Dead.
I've only seen the first two episodes of the show, so...
Blasphemy.
He told me about it, and then I saw it on Netflix watched the whole thing over the course of a really important paper that I should have been writing for one of my classes.
And it ended up being about Walking Dead? Or
no, okay. It was a cognitive psychology paper.
You could totally do that on Walking Dead.
Maybe, eventually.
Possibly.
Yeah. Once I get to know her better.
Yeah.
Were you satisfied with the television show, James?
Well, I think the one thing that the show has done that's been, I think, the most successful is deviating from the comics.
Absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was really smart of them to do, because the comics, they would have had a hard time keeping audience interested if you nailed the comics.
And I've read the first graphic novel of it, and then I've seen the first two episodes of the TV series. And I fully intend to watch the rest. In fact, I know you have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
so we have a few of the graphics at home. That mom gave it to us.
And I really liked the comic book, and I really liked the two episodes of the series I saw. But it sort of got shuffled into the pile of stuff to watch that I haven't made it to yet.
And
well, what's interesting about the stuff that you've read and seen so far, actually, the comic book gets much better after the first, say, 10 issues.
Yeah.
I reviewed the comic for Amazing Stories when it, right around issue 9 or 10, I did a review. And it's very slow when it starts off, and it takes a while to build, and the characters don't really start getting interesting until the 9th or 10th issue of the comic.
I think it really takes off with issue 19 when Michonne shows up.
Right.
Personally.
Right.
But, you know.
And the TV show, too, once it starts deviating from the comics and they start getting into new ground, I think that's when the show really starts taking off as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and you nailed it. I completely agree with you. Like, that is probably what's most interesting about it, is how it has deviated from the comic books. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to pay it a disservice and leave it at that, because I can't leave anything at anything. But, you know, but for me, it's not just because they change stuff; it's also because they keep stuff the same. I mean,
right.
they kept to the spirit
of it.
Well, I mean, you know, like Amy dies just as she does in the comic, but you know, other people don't show up; other people survive when they should have died in the comic, and it just leaves you this feeling of unease, it's really cool.
It's pretty much what he's been talking about for the past 2 days.
Yep, I mean it's fascinating, because you know, I read your book and it made me want to reread the graphic novel, so I've been reading those and I've just been loving it, so that's cool. Why don't we get into our list and see what we think of this whole zombie movie genre? I guess that's going to kick us off with Ethan's number six.
All right, before we get that far, James, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay, just want to make sure my computer just said something about a program crashing. Want to make sure it wasn't, you know,
neat.
You.
What order are we going in, so we don't get all confusulated here?
We'll go Ethan, Beth, James, you, me.
Okay.
That's not confusing at all.
It isn't, trust me.
You want to, like, write that down or something, you know? All right. Getting into my top 10, my number 6. Really, to me, what's important from a zombie movie, what makes a good zombie movie is I found that it either has to make me laugh, and the zombies have to be, you know, a real threat and not, you know, this joke that's on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie also has to be about, not really about the zombies, but how people treat other people, and that really goes for any good horror movie, I think, a good survival movie. But my number six, going in here with the caveat that, you know, of the 20 zombie movies or so that I have seen, you know, very few of them I would classify as good zombie movies. This one is the recent, I think it was 2008, Zombieland. It took me quite a while to actually finally see this movie. I actually finally saw this movie this year, and it's the Woody Harrelson.
Twist his arm,
jeez.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was really funny. It's obviously more of a comedy, but the thing about this one is the zombies themselves aren't a joke. I mean, it's more the people, the humans in it are the joke, and there's the snarkiness and the sort of the jokes going on through the movie. But you have these great characters that are taking this thing seriously, but, you know, have survived the quote-unquote zombie apocalypse and are dealing with things in their own way. I think by far the most, you know, outlandish moment in the movie is the whole Bill Murray bit. But,
sure.
But Zombieland...
The movie's worth watching just for the Bill Murray
set. Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
It's a funny movie. It's really entertaining. And I'm not the biggest Woody Harrelson fan, but I really liked him in this. And the movie is very, very entertaining.
It is.
It's got a lot of wit. It's got a lot of... it's got some great characters in it. And it's not a bad zombie movie at the top of it. So it ended up at number six on my list. So it is on my list, definitely. All right. Well, that is my number six.
Very good. Very good. Beth, what's your number six?
My number six is Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. It's my number 7.
I just love Evil Dead movies so much.
So does Ethan, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, I have a passing interest.
It's one of the things that brought us together.
Evil Dead, the musical, baby.
I have a love for it. It was one of the first zombie movies I saw.
Talking about sort of a comedy type of a movie. There you
go.
Yeah,
it's just funny and silly.
But talk about one that makes zombies into a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But you also get, like, I don't know, Ash endures a lot, so.
Ash is still the king of pain.
He is. He's pretty badass, so.
I mean, the man cuts his own arm off, his own hand off with a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw.
That he starts with his teeth.
Who does that?
Ash does. Ash is dumb enough to do anything. And Evil Dead 2 is one of my absolute favorite movies. And the thing I love about Evil Dead 2 is how it doesn't take itself seriously at all. But in the fact that it's calling itself Evil Dead 2, but it isn't necessarily a sequel. It's more of a remake. But it could be a sequel. Who would be dumb enough to take another girl with the same name to the same cabin where a bunch of his friends died?
Ash.
Ash would go back because he's a moron. Yep. So, yes.
Cabin in the woods, ooh.
Exactly. And there's a musical version of Evil Dead, which is fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2. It ended up at number 7 on my list, and I really enjoy Evil Dead 2. It's a lot of fun. I remember back in the day when this movie was impossible to find.
I did too.
I had to track it down on VHS at this video store in Baldwin City.
Oh, wow.
Here. Yeah,
wow.
That was the only place I could find it. And it was just got a friend living down there, and he said, they've got a copy of Evil Dead 2. And I was like, yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually saw it the first time edited for TV. Which,
was it like 4 minutes long? I mean,
almost.
I've never seen it.
You should see
it's
it.
It's so good.
Okay, we might have to
have
an
Evil
Dead.
I have to be honest. The first time I saw the first one, I actually left the room because I was just like, really. But then I gave it a second chance, and I settled through it. I was
if
like,
you
okay,
saw my
this
Facebook
is pretty
pictures,
fun.
You'll see the aftermath from the Evil Dead musical.
The best way to describe for those people who have been living under a rock of geek culture and never seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead is a more serious movie. It was a serious attempt at a horror film.
And a bad zombie movie.
It was a bad movie. Evil Dead 2, they decided just to go, screw it.
We're going to make a bad movie.
We're going to make a bad movie and make it cheesy as hell.
And boy, did they ever.
There you have it. Evil Dead 2. Good choice, dear.
Thanks,
I approve.
Sonny.
You seen it, James?
Oh, I've seen it several times. Movie.
It's a real good movie.
Some would not classify it as a zombie movie.
See, and I can't really classify it as a zombie movie, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it.
But they die, and then they come back. Isn't that what defines a zombie?
I don't know.
I think it is.
There's a whole argument now, even among people who like movies, the Romero movies and everything else, that those aren't really zombie movies either. Actually, the real zombie movies are the resurrected Haitian voodoo zombies. Those real zombies. If you talk about the brain eating zombies, that's like saying sparkly vampires, you know.
They can suck it.
I don't agree with that. I mean, I may not be the zombie expert or anything, but from my understanding of zombies, even from the hoodoo and voodoo and all that different stuff, it's coming. You know,
zombie?
The living dead.
To
somebody
me,
who's died and come back.
That's
a zombie.
It might not be an important part of it, but something that I really cling to that makes me say this is a zombie movie, this is not, is the. It is the spread of the zombie-ism, if that's even a word. You know, the fact that one gets bitten and then it makes another one, and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not necessarily that way in The Evil Dead, because The Evil Dead, you know, you got like four or five people or however many people in the woods. And I don't know. To me, there's, you know, a big part of it is just like the overwhelming force of these, you know, these mindless brutes coming after you.
It sort of depends on how you want to classify zombie movies.
And
you can classify it as Walking Dead. You can classify it as, you know, reanimated corpses. You can classify it even a more, you know, it's something that makes a commentary on society through the use of zombies and da 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 blah blah blah, all that crap. But
Which is true. I mean, and all of those things are true.
Yeah.
And that's the part about it that it really doesn't make a lot of difference how you define zombies. It is definitely one of those, well, you kind of know it when you see it.
Exactly.
So
that's awesome.
Nice.
So
what's your number 6?
Thank you, Rachel.
Well, my number 6 actually segues into that kind of perfectly, since it's just a really kind of weird take on it, is a Canadian film from 2009, Pontypool.
I thought about that one, and it's not – I can't call that one a zombie movie, but sell me on it because I'm sure you're going to.
It is. It is.
Okay, you're right.
Because basically, when you're talking about the spread, how the virus spreads, and the fact that that the dead sort of come back and keep multiplying, I mean, that's the kind of the basic premise for that film.
It is. I mean, you know, once again, I think it might just come to – I don't know. I mean, maybe because of the way it's spread in the movie.
Yeah.
What's that? Well, but that's the cool part about it.
That is the cool part about it.
The idea is that that the virus is spread through language.
Mm-hmm.
That it's what you say to people and how you say it to people that actually causes the virus to spread. And I thought that was such a clever idea. And it takes the other part about it that I think works, especially as a zombie movie, is it's a siege movie. It's like Evil Dead. It's like Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. It's this really claustrophobic, a couple of people stuck in this case, in the radio station, trying to figure out what's going on in the world outside of them and withstanding the siege of all of these things that are coming after them.
But it's I do enjoy that one. It's good. I don't know. Just something about the fact that it's not somebody gets bit, and I don't know. I mean, and maybe I just didn't give it as much thought as it deserved. But, you know, I mean, I just think it just didn't immediately occur to me. I did think about it, but, you know, because it spread through language, which is unique, which is, you know, this movie's shtick. I mean, Rachel watched that one with me. Did you like it?
I don't remember.
Pontypool is the one in the radio station?
Don't remember.
Huh. It was interesting.
I've never even heard of it, so it's all good.
I've heard of it only because I was looking for zombie movies.
I thought you'd see.
I watched it.
I thought you watched it with me.
I wrote it down though.
It's on Netflix. I watched it.
It is. It's streaming on Netflix. It's a pretty cool film.
It's certainly interesting. I mean, it's not Transformers 3 for God's sake. So
God, yeah.
Yeah. and I guess at this point, Rachel, what's your number 6?
Oh goodness, I have to look at my list. My number 6 is the 2004 Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
You're going to find this on my list a lot. I happen to like the whole zombie apocalypse in the mall thing for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've got some childhood fantasy of being in the mall.
You don't
want to
pay
hours.
For stuff
it
at the mall.
It kind of makes sense a little bit because you've got everything you need there.
Yeah, you know, I've thought that several times.
Except it's not great for hiding.
No, not really.
No, way too many entrances.
No.
Lots of entrances, but lots of supplies. So it's kind of like
the old Atlas missile base with the...
We're not
back to my list.
Yeah, so why the 2006 Zack Snyder one?
2004 Zack Snyder one. I chose that one, I think, mostly because of Andy. I mean, he kind of steals the movie away from everybody else. The gun store owner.
Yeah. That's an element I liked a lot about it.
The whole diary thing at the end was cool. The picking out famous lookalikes and shooting them in the head thing was really cool.
Yeah,
obviously the mall aspect.
That sort of transition of how they become very jaded towards the situation.
Exactly.
Zombies, whatever.
And I kind of like some of the dynamics of the characters. I like the guy with the boat who's a jackass. I like the security mall guards. I like the whole thing.
It's not really about the zombies. It's about the people involved
and how they
treat each other.
It's the village people in a mall with zombies.
Yeah.
Because everybody's filling an archetype.
Yeah, and it's actually number 4 on my list. So I really enjoyed Dawn of the Dead.
It did not make my list because I have my reasons. One thing I did like, and Rachel brought, I didn't even consider Andy. That was an aspect I did really like about it. I mean, you know, kind of like the whole reaching out for humanity. I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm not dense. But, and I am completely... you know, sitting alone on this one, but I like the zombies running and shit. I mean, I completely agree with you on that.
I like the progression of it because it was the fresh zombies could still move quickly, but what I liked about the movie is as the days went by, the zombies got slower because the fresher the zombie, the faster it moved. But after rigor mortis and, you know, its tissue started to degrade, they started slowing down.
I don't like it when they stay fast the whole time because they go through certain stages of decay.
I wasn't expecting it.
Scientist
is why I liked it.
What I really liked about this movie was the fact that they pointed out and they made like a point of, I mean, just pretty much telling you this is how we figured out why the how the zombies come back to life. A lot of movies don't seem to do that, or and if they do, it's very like mysterious.
In a lot of,
it's not as focused.
In a lot of zombie movies,
it's not a priority.
It's not important.
No, it's not because we know. But I like how this one points it out.
Sure.
I mean, it's like for the zombie novice or whatever, they're gonna go, okay, I get it now. I get it. So I mean, I kind of just like that aspect of the movie.
Go ahead, James.
No, because the main thing with a lot of,
I think we lost you again,
characters and how they survive. And the other part of it is, I mean, if they're holed up in a small area, they're going to have partial knowledge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they're going to really be able to figure it out. It's, you know, the classic Night of the Living Dead line from 1968. They're dead. They're all messed up. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and it's the thing is, the movie's about these people who wouldn't know the information. You know, it's not about big scientist guy out here who works for the CDC and would have the information. No, it's about
surviving.
About the people who are holed up in a freaking mall. So I mean, that's a really cool aspect to, I think, a lot of zombie movies, and that's what I liked about Dawn of the Dead. You know,
I did like this one. I did like this one. It was pretty good.
So it brings.
I guess it brings us down to my number six, and I'm going
to
turn myself into a hypocrite because I keep talking about like the, I like the large spread, and I like the idea of, what I'm thinking of a zombie movie. You know, lots of zombies, a small group of people having to survive from it. I actually picked the 1988. Wes Craven film, The Serpent and the Rainbow. It's not a traditional zombie movie in any sense of the word. I mean, James brought it up earlier. It's the Haitian voodoo priest dude bringing somebody back to life.
Mm-hmm. I think
it's got a couple of really, really, really scary parts.
It does. It's one of Wes Craven's better films.
It is, actually. It's one of the most consistent. It's one of the most, the best structured.
Yeah, I like Bill Pullman in it too.
Yep,
he was a narrator, right? Well, I mean, he was kind of the, the talking guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good movie. It was interesting, and I just kind of liked the non-traditional look at it, or in terms of this almost felt like your typical Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead kind of zombie movies, only trying to tell it in a realistic setting. Because this movie's, Rachel just said that, she kind of liked how they explained how, why they're coming back and that kind of thing. That's what this movie's all about, in a sense.
Yeah, it's an exploration scientist sort of movie.
Yeah, and, it, and it's also
going, the journalist doing the expose to find out what's really going on, and he gets in way over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah, that's just it. Most zombie movies are about survival. This one is about, figuring out the definition of what a zombie is. I mean, was somebody really hurt, or has this person really returned from the dead? It's a really interesting movie, and I recommend anybody check it out if they haven't seen it. And it is streaming on Netflix. I was looking at that today. Ethan, what's your number six? Five.
Number five. My number five goes way, way back and is probably one of the original zombie movies, quote-unquote zombie movies, and it's The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Good one.
Easily one of my favorite movies, just because I love those movies that play with your perception and recognize the fact that the movies have a point of view and whatnot. And this one is just, one of the early iterations of, hey, I have a, it's the whole zombie mentality, but it's more of a, memory serves, it's more of the classic, the classic zombie is the somnolist, becomes mindless and goes and does his thing. And obviously this movie's a big influence on one of my favorite directors, Alfred Hitchcock. So, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, easily one of the best silent movies ever. For me, it made it to number five on my list just based on the fact that it's one of the early iterations and one of the few really excellent movies that I've seen. So
that, you can argue that's very clearly a thematic zombie movie.
Very much so.
Like you said, it's that idea that, and this goes to the Haitian zombies too, it's a matter of not being in control of your own will.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the scarier things about zombies is, you don't want to know what exactly happens to you when you come back as a zombie, because you're obviously not yourself. And that is very, very much covered in this one.
Yep, but that's my number five.
No, look like you just look like you got your mic in hand, look like you're ready to rock.
It's just making me realize that I have a lot to learn about zombie movies.
There's a lot to learn about zombie movies.
Well, and you know, I try to watch as much as I can, but you know,
you can learn
limited
as middle,
resources.
You can learn
can
as little
you
or as much as you want.
Zen of Zombie or Zombie Haiku at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Cool. So Beth, what's your number five?
My number five is Zombies.
Not a big fan of that one myself.
I loved it so much.
That's my number eight.
It's so cheesy.
It is.
And that's one of the things I loved about it, but it was also a zombie movie from the zombies' perspective.
I was just thinking about that.
And
they
thought that there was something wrong with the humans.
Yeah.
Like, that was just so novel and interesting to me that I definitely fell in love with that movie.
As
cheesy as it is.
I like that movie. The whole, when they showed it from the human perspective of them being zombies, yeah. It was just them, like, basically standing there going, you know.
And they're trying to negotiate with them from the zombie perspective.
Exactly. It's
what's
hilarious.
Wrong? Why are you going to shoot me? I have nothing to defend myself with. I think I'll bite you. Like, that's kind of where it went. It was
I would have liked to. I would have liked to seen that movie taken just a little bit more seriously. I mean, it doesn't need to be, like, you know, a Romero dark and dreary kind of movie, but I would have liked to have seen it a little bit less cheesy. Myself, but it is.
I think it was perfect, just as much cheese as it had.
I think for me, it kind of opens a door to movie genres with zombie movies from the zombie perspective.
I'd like to see it from a
darker side.
By far, not the first one to do that, but at the same time,
the first one that I've had the pleasure of seeing.
Well, there's plenty, but my thing about it, and I'm not arguing, it's not a bad movie, but my thing about it is, you know, when you make it as cheesy as it is, it's almost hard to take it seriously, and that's. Something that's I like in the zombie movies. I like it the serious feelings running through it. So cool. I guess that brings us down to James's number five.
The 68 Night of the Living Dead.
Okay,
it's a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie. Yeah.
There's I mean it's a great it's just a great film, and it did so much to redefine the entire genre. I mean, before Romero did the 68 movie. Which is, you know, it owes a lot to Last Man on Earth and some other survival movies. I mean, it's not a completely original creation, but what he did was merge those sort of survivalist horror things with the idea of the zombie that was different from the classic, I Walked with the Zombie version of the zombie. Well, and the 90 version is actually pretty good too. It didn't make my list, but actually I was surprised I enjoyed the 90 version
more than
I was expecting.
I'm right there with you because the 90 version is my number 10. I enjoy it because, you know, I mean, first off, Romero was involved in it. He wrote the screenplay for it, if I remember correctly, and it was directed by Tom Savini.
Right.
My thing about it is it was well made, and it's like it was just different enough from the original to hold your interest. But one of the things that I didn't like the fact that Ben got turned before he was killed in the remake versus just getting shot in the original.
Which kind of stole the whole show for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a defining moment of the first movie.
Well, which makes it a defining moment of this movie because they didn't do that, and you know, instead they transferred that onto the asshole father. You know, and she I was about to ask what her name is. Good Lord, Barbara ended up shooting the guy in the basement before he was turned just because he was an asshole.
What they did was they changed it from, and this is one of the other things about zombie films. When they're most successful, they do things like Romero did with Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. They're about other things than just survival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Night of the Living Dead has the whole racial 68 version.
It's much more of a metaphorical
whole racial
movie.
Dynamic. And what they did for the 90 version was they made it about women's roles and sexism.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that Barbara has to take on a different role at the end of it, well, that plays out because she's not just hiding in the corner shivering for the whole movie like the 1968 version of the character was.
Yeah, I am a big fan of both of them, but I mean, I just almost have a hard time enjoying the 90 version because of that. But
yeah, it's a good film. It's not a great film.
No,
it's the 68 version is a great film. The 90 version is a good to very good film.
Yeah, and I completely concur. Rachel, what's your number five?
My number five is Undead. It's the 2003 Michael and Peter Spearing.
Ooh.
I couldn't make it past the first 10 minutes of that movie.
You know, I watched it once, and then I rented it with my sister and watched it a second time, not realizing it was the same movie. And after I got done watching the second time, I was like, I love that movie. It's just hilarious. I mean, the guy, the crazy, I don't know what you would call him, fisherman guy with all his guns, and he's just like cool, and he can, you know, he can do all this shit all of a sudden.
You know the movie's a remake, right?
I did not know that,
It's a remake of a movie called Night of the Comet.
Which is actually a really cool film.
It's a remake of a zombie movie from
I believe it's from the 80s called Night of the Comet.
It's a remake of Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that because they don't seem anything alike.
No, no. It's a remake of Night of the Comet. Nothing Watch the very alike. Beginning because it's a comet that goes by that does everything.
No, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. That's really funny. Wow. I kind of feel stupid now. But anyway, because they're both on my list. But no, I don't know why. I just love the crazy fisherman gun-toting guy, and then I don't know, it kind of gets stupid for a while, but for some reason I just kind of find it fun and entertaining, and
didn't click with me, I'm afraid.
Me, it just kind of just held up to that. Yep, that was kind of fun. That was that was stupid, that was fun, that was entertaining, that was about what it was supposed to be.
That was Australian.
I liked it, So that was my number five.
It was crazy Australians.
Well, my number five is the 1984 Tom Eberhardt film, Night of the Comet.
That's on my list.
Speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil, yeah. Is this one you've
seen,
James?
That's number seven on my list.
What's that?
Funny. Have you seen Night of the Comet?
Oh, Chakotay to the rescue.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, absolutely.
I enjoyed that film, and it's actually been a while since I've seen it. I don't have a lot of comments on it.
But the guy that plays Chakotay is one of the characters in that movie.
Yeah.
So yes, it is. It's actually a very fun film. I like that movie a lot. It's enjoyable.
It made number seven on my list. Again, back to the whole mall thing, because they have the whole mall scene, and, you know, that just seems to be a deep-seated, like, wish of mine to be in a mall after hours or something.
I guess so. Well, Ethan's number four was the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead, so that brings us down to Beth's number four.
My number four is I Am Legend.
I didn't think about that one.
The 2007.
The Will Smith. Yeah.
The I Hate Dogs movie.
Yes.
I like that one.
And that one did pop up during some of my research, and I like it. I don't like the Hollywood ending.
No. God, no.
And the book is much better.
Oh, yeah.
I like the book's a lot. Fantastic.
I love the ending of the book. Yeah. I love the ending of the book.
Yeah.
I need to read the book.
And don't get me wrong, the movie's great, if not just for the performance of Will Smith.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, we've talked about it before. It's like it takes a hell of an actor to carry a movie on his own for an hour, and he does it.
I can't forgive that movie because they killed the dog. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it, but, you know.
Well, you know, they've had 5 years to watch it at this point. So. I like I Am Legend. One can make the argument that they're not really zombies because they sort of just become infected.
Infection,
you know, that's a zombie thing.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think in the original story, they were vampires, but...
Vampire-ish. But they didn't sparkle.
They didn't sparkle.
Right,
But in I Am Legend...
I like the idea of him surviving on his own.
Yeah,
like,
well, he's immune. He's immune to the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And in I Am Legend, what I do like about it is they sort of hint at it is that the zombies, quote unquote, still have some sort of humanity to them, that they have their own sort of hierarchy. Mm-hmm. It's much more prevalent in the book, but
why?
But the I Am Legend, I really enjoyed that one. But like I said, the Hollywood ending kind of throws me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic performance by Will Smith, and you know, I hesitate to call it a great movie, but it's not bad. And I mean, and that's not really fair, because I mean, it's a lot better than not bad, as far as I'm concerned. But between the dog and the Hollywood ending, I just didn't and I don't find it too zombie-ish.
So why did you like it per se, Beth?
I just liked the film, and I thought it was a pretty good portrayal of like a zombie movie, and honestly it was kind of short on some of my stuff.
I liked Will Smith talking to the mannequins. That was probably my favorite part of the movie.
I just can't imagine the amount of loneliness that he goes through.
Yeah, and most of the zombie movies, it's a group of people surviving, and this one is just a dude with a dog. And it does bring that whole, well, how do you as a being all alone in New York City, how do you stay sane?
You know? If you really like that kind of story configuration, there's a movie called The Quiet Earth that you need to track down from the 80s. If you haven't seen it, there's basically a guy wakes up and he's, as far as he knows, the last person on Earth. There's nobody. It's not zombies. It's not anything. It's just him.
Hmm.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
And he slowly goes nuts over the first half of the movie. It's
also kind of reminds me of a Twilight Zone episode with Burgess Meredith, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Time Enough at Last.
Yeah, that's a great, great, great episode of that show.
So, James, what's your number four?
My number four is the 1979 Fulci movie Zombie, also known as Zombie 2, which was one of the first really... It's the other side of the zombie films. The characters are interesting. There's all sorts of... in the traditional zombie movie, the characters are interesting. It can be about other things. And then you have movies like Zombie, which are just there to basically assault you.
Yeah, viscerally.
And viscerally assault you. And the scene... there's really two... the two most famous scenes in the film. One is the guy in the zombie costume fighting the shark for real underwater.
Yep.
Which, if you haven't seen, is just really...
And
wow.
Knowing it's real, it makes it even like...
Exactly. You won't forget that. You watch it the whole time just thinking, they paid somebody to do this. He's wrestling with a shark in a zombie costume.
And he probably didn't get paid well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one is, the most famous scene in the movie is there's a woman who gets her eyeball pierced with a gigantic piece of wood from a wood frame when she's fighting to get away from a zombie.
Ouch.
Which kind of sums up the experience of watching that film.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's the audience. The audience gets this big stick poked in its eye.
Mm.
It's a pretty remarkable movie.
Yeah, it's not easy to watch.
No.
I mean, that's not a background noise kind of movie. I mean,
no.
You're going to watch it, it's probably going to ruin the rest of your day, and you're going to be thinking about it for a while.
Yes, yes.
I shouldn't watch it then.
Well, it's an experience. I mean, most movies do nothing. This one does a lot more than nothing.
Well, Fulci did, I mean, the Gates of Hell trilogy that he did too, which the Beyond is often cited as his most successful movie.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those films, the City of the Living Dead, House by the Cemetery, are all movies that are basically endurance tests. They're just surreal enough to be confusing to you as a viewer. You're watching them thinking, wait, I'm not sure I understand this. And then something horrifying happens on screen.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. I guess it brings us down to my number four.
No,
yep.
Mine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rachel.
Somebody's number four.
Jeez, I'm not here at all.
Jeez.
My number four is Zombieland 2009. Yeah. I don't know what can be said about this movie that hasn't already been said by Ethan over here.
Twinkies.
Yes, Twinkies. That's the best part of the movie.
One of the better parts.
No, I think I kind of
want my fucking Twinkie.
I think the best part of this movie for me is the whole... safety list for zombie things. I mean, for preparedness for zombies.
Yes.
Yeah, cardio, the keys, and bathroom, double tap, all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty much just like no fucking shit. Seriously, if people don't know this shit already, then they've got serious problems. I mean, that's what I think of when he says it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, good to know.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I can also see myself making a list like that
exactly.
After a zombie apocalypse, going, okay, number one,
number
do
one.
This.
I think it would probably...
on your iPod.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait. Okay.
Hold on, zombie.
Mine would be written out. I'd have it in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Discarding of the list later on is, you know...
Discarding of certain aspects.
Certain
of the
aspects
list.
Of the list.
The revising the list, I should
the whole staying alone thing.
Yeah.
Them not trusting them, and then trusting them, and then not trusting them, and then trusting them back and forth kind of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of human dynamics.
Yeah. They bring a lot of, the human dynamics into it. At the same time, they have the zombies, and it's just a really good, I think, overall fun, enjoyable movie to watch.
Yeah.
So,
The list and some of the other character reactions in that are also playing to the audience, because the filmmaker knows we know what that list should be, because the audience has seen those zombie movies too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're nodding along when he's going through the list. You're nodding because you've seen all these other zombie movies.
We all at one point or another have entered some sort of structure and thought, how can I defend this against a zombie apocalypse?
Mm. Yep.
Aaron and my brother-in-law
may
Gary
have
and
done
I,
that with my sorority house.
Aaron and my brother-in-law Gary and I have sat driving back from school one time and had an entire conversation about what our plan for zombie apocalypse would be. Yep. So,
ultimately decided I would never know about the zombie apocalypse. I'd be like the husband in the Dawn of the Dead remake. I'd walk out of the bathroom and get bit by a little girl and not even know there was a zombie apocalypse. That'd be me. So
yeah.
Very good.
Yep. So that was my number four. Aaron, yours?
My number four. Want to talk Murder Legendre again? 1932's a white zombie. The happily, well, not happily.
Some of these older ones.
I like old
Bela
movies.
Lugosi.
Start another cigarette and not even.
I thought that was yours. We talked it last time had James on when we talked classic horror. It's a movie that I really like a lot. It's Bela Lugosi. I mean,
and how can you go wrong with Bela Lugosi?
You can't. Not really. I mean, other than like Plan 9 and...
Yeah, Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's how you can go wrong with Bela Lugosi.
But, you know, at the same time...
That's still an entertaining movie to watch.
Yeah.
Though.
I'd rather watch Plan 9 from Outer Space than, like, you know, Sucker Punch or something like that. So,
oh, there you are.
So,
well, yeah.
I like that movie a lot, and I talked about it a lot last time, so at this point I'm going to move on to Ethan's number three.
Sorry, you mentioned Sucker Punch, and I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. My number three is a movie that has been mentioned, although not in this list. It is the movie that brought zombies back. It was 28 Days Later.
And it's not a zombie movie, goddammit.
Yes, it is.
I know
yes,
it is, but it isn't.
One can argue that they are ghouls, but I say, hey, it's an infection. They eat flesh. It is a zombie movie. So... Yes, yes, yes. Rabies, whatever. They're infected with rage. I don't care. Danny Boyle movie with Cillian Murphy and the 10th Doctor. Or, wait, the 9th Doctor. 9th Doctor, excuse me. Brendan Gleeson. We love Brendan Gleeson.
Yes.
The thing about that movie that I really, really, really like is, you know, it's got your quintessential stuff that for me makes a zombie movie really worthwhile, really good, and not like let's have some mindless entertainment. Like Zombieland's great, but it's mindless entertainment.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
28 Days Later has that social aspect to it because it's how awful are other humans treating people. You know.
Yeah.
They get to the relative safety of this military, and what do? You know, I mean, it's this awful, how much of a monster can a person be?
Yeah. This movie completely loses me pretty much as soon as Brendan Gleeson gets infected and the military shows up. At that point, I found it boring. Up until then, I loved it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad that you brought this movie into play because I really wanted to put it on my list, but for some reason just couldn't. I'm not sure why, but
I
was probably my start with zombie movies, I'd have to say. My cousin and I, this used to be our favorite movie. I'm 5 years
younger
than you.
You're
so young. This used to be our favorite movie, and I mean, to the point where we were quoting it, like the whole fucking hell, he bounced, thing. I mean... But at the same time, yeah, it's not really, I don't know, it's not really a zombie movie.
It's a zombie movie.
It is.
I couldn't get into the leaders.
It is, but when it comes, I can't put it on my list because I didn't like that, because I didn't like it after that point.
You know, I did. The was it the bird that dropped the or something dropped
in bird.
His eye? Yeah, that part just freaks me out.
It's a well shot scene.
That part
scene.
Right there is
what
Danny
makes Boyle.
Me sometimes nervous
right.
of birds.
Yeah,
just that whole scene right there. I'm like, oh god, if we have a plague, I'm going to die from a bird. Mm-hmm. That pretty much is it. But that was a pretty good movie. I'm really glad that was on your list because
No, I really enjoy it. I haven't seen 28 Weeks Later. I haven't
it's
seen
not
28
good.
Days
it's
Later.
It's not
so.
As good. I'd have to say, but actually the. There was that one scene in there that I really liked, and I can't remember what it is because it's been so long since I've seen it. Damn it. Never mind.
That's all good. I really enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy 28 Days Later. It's got that great social dynamic to it. It's got good characters in it, and you know, it's got the Ninth Doctor. So, you know, hey, gotta love Christopher Eccleston.
He
plays a fantastic bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Christopher, geez. James, your thoughts on it.
I'm kind of with you on this. It's well shot. The acting's all really good. It doesn't hold together for me.
It completely fell apart when the military showed
up
for me.
It loses me partway through. I certainly see why people really enjoy it. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Danny Boyle's a hell of a filmmaker.
Although the whole military entering into it may ruin it for you, Aaron, I think it's kind of great how they fuck them over in the end. That's kind of like a little triumphant wave of my hand for me.
Yeah, I mean,
just because, I mean, they're such assholes. I mean,
if they got to show up, then I guess it's good to get all fucked over and everything. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, I mean, it's way better than a lot of zombie movies.
Yeah, it's a good film.
It's just not for me, and that's fine. Not every film is going to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, very good.
So that brings us to
Beth's number three.
Yep.
My number three is Dawn of the Dead, 1978.
It's a good movie. Which version? Do you know?
I don't know which version it was.
I sat down to try and watch that years and years and years ago, and I made it about 10, 20 minutes in, had to stop.
Really? I had some really awesome friends that I watched it with back
in
Baltimore, and we just...
It's one I need to watch again.
We had a projector screen, we had movie nights, and that was one of the... Yeah.
Well, it's one that I need to sit down and watch again. I fully admit this. So.
Yeah, I have
it. Dawn of the Dead? Yeah, the original?
Yeah. There's three different cuts. There's the U.S. cut, the international cut, and the director's cut.
I think it was the U.S. cut.
Well, it probably was, but they're actually, you know, like a lot of times they say, ooh, director's cut, and they put a couple 5 minutes of bullshit in the beginning.
I have no idea what version I've seen.
And in this case, no, I mean, they're very different movies in terms of the different way. Like, some of them, they survive. Some of them, they don't survive.
I just remember telling my mom I had seen this movie, and she was like, oh, my God, that's a horrible movie. I saw that when it first came out.
It's an important zombie movie.
It gave me nightmares for days.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely... Yeah. I know that it's a landmark zombie movie.
Really yeah, cool. I mean, you know, Night of the Living Dead is made for, like, $1.50. And, you know, this one is the response to, like, that, you know, electrifying response from the audience, and it's a really good movie, and you know it's got those annoying Romero-isms in them where you know they has to have the social commentary in there, and obviously it's about consumerism because it's in the mall and blah 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 blah.
Which
doesn't change the fact it's a great movie.
Which is why it's my number two on my list, because it's the whole mall thing again. You know, actually, in this one, they use the mall.
I think you need to go shopping more.
I think I probably do.
Yeah, apparently.
You know, the whole blocking up the entrance to the stairs where they live and you know, especially the car scene where they're driving around with the guy that just got bit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That part I just love that part. I don't know why.
I kind of like the whole part of his transformation.
Yeah,
into
I do too. I do too. Yep. How kind of slow and
heartfelt.
I honestly think I made it as far as to when they actually made it to the mall and stopped watching. So,
you know, and
well, we'll have to try again.
It's really dated. I will get it.
It is dated. But, you know, everything that lacked in the remake, the original had, and everything that the original lacked, the remake had. So that's why I kind of have both of those on my list.
I kind of wish that they had, like, I don't know, somehow made, like, melded them.
Melded the two together. Exactly.
Exactly.
I think that would probably be a pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good zombie movie. Anyway, so.
I think it's a great movie. I think it's fantastic. Do you have any comments on it, James?
Well, actually, that's number one on my list.
Is it really?
So. It is.
So
I agree.
So we're going to talk about that in length in a little while.
A little bit. So that brings us to your number three.
My number three.
No, his number three.
Another one you may not have seen. It's called Cemetery Man.
I've heard of it.
That is one of the few movies I have, zombie movies I have seen. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, there you go. Rupert Everett's finest hour.
Rupert Everett.
I have not.
It is sort of based on an Italian comic book called Dylan Dog. They made a Dylan Dog movie recently.
Oh, we saw Dylan Dog.
Yeah. We saw it at the
top of my list.
Dylan Dog?
Yeah, it is pretty bad. The new one.
Actually, Rachel's watching it yesterday.
I just watched it. I loved it.
I was in the room and I couldn't pay. I couldn't pay attention to it.
We saw it at the drive-in.
I didn't know Cemetery Man was
roughly based on Dylan Dog. It was done in 1994. It's about a cemetery caretaker who is caught up in kind of this Kafka-esque world.
Uh-huh.
And it has some really trippy, surreal parts to it. And it's a traditional zombie movie. The people are coming back.
Except
nobody outside of the graveyard seems to believe him.
Yeah.
That this is what's going on.
I don't remember much about this movie other than I really hated it. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It had a good visceral reaction on you, too.
Yes. Sorry to say, but I mean, I remember watching this. This was a movie I rented on Laserdisc.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm almost positive I've seen it, but I think it kind of got lumped into the whole zombie with an eye or zombie two
genre of holy shit kind of movies. And
well, it's not.
It's
gory.
Not. It's no. I mean, it's
just odd.
and that's just it. I mean, it's that oddness that brings it. That makes me lump it in there with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the thing is it comes from the Italian film tradition with like the Argento slasher movies and things like that, where you do have to check your brain to a certain extent and just sort of, okay, this is the world of the movie. And these things make sense because it's happening in the world of the movie. Mm-hmm. And if I think too hard about this, I'm just going to give myself an aneurysm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I could see that.
So if you can watch it with that in mind, then it is actually a pretty damn cool film.
I'm just having a hard time calling it to memory, but maybe I'll check it out again sometime. Why not? Rachel, what's your number three?
My number three is the 1992 Peter Jackson Dead Alive.
Dead Alive.
Lawnmower.
You know, that movie, it just seemed like every scene, the next scene had to be...
That's some Academy Award winner.
Academy Award, yes.
Sir Peter Jackson.
I had mentioned earlier that I've got all these friends who are, you know, really serious Tolkien scholars. And before the Lord of the Rings movies came out, I recommended they all go watch that.
Yeah.
No, you want to see what the guy who's going to do Tolkien.
Yeah.
This is the sort of movie he does. It'll make you feel great about the movies.
Yeah, so this movie for me was just like every scene had to seem to triumph the last. I mean, it just had to be to be more gory and be more ridiculous than the last. And
one-upping each one.
You know, for me, I have a problem remembering movies I've watched, and if they really stick with me, then they must have been somewhat good for me. And this movie, I cannot seem to get out of my head. I think this is the only movie that's actually had a...
Infected?
Did I say infected?
I said, did it infect you?
Yes, it infected me.
It's definitely a movie that you lump in sort of the cult Evil Dead 2 genre.
Well, see, the thing is that I don't have physical reactions to movies very often. One time I think I puked or almost puked when I was watching Jackass 3 or something stupid like that.
My. Fart helmet, wasn't it?
I don't remember what it was.
I think it was the
this
fart
one,
helmet.
When she ate her ear out of the soup or whatever it was, yeah. I literally about threw up.
Whoa.
And that doesn't happen very often for me. That kind of stuck with me, yeah. And I mean, seriously, like I said, everything just seemed to have to triumph the last scene, the lawnmower scene where he just seems to like the blood's just going everywhere.
That's
and
a
it's
scene.
Just like it, yeah, it's a scene. That's all you can pretty much say.
That's a scene.
The baby that the zombie baby that he takes to the park, that he walks around, that you know, he like throws in the air and he's catching and I mean all this shit. It's just how can ridiculous can we get?
Well,
I haven't seen this one.
It's like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. For zombies, exactly. And yep. I don't know, I just watched it and I was just like, yeah, okay, that's a zombie movie. And I don't know, it just stuck with me, so I had to put it on my list. So yeah, that's my number three.
Very good.
But then, you know what, that's when I was saying about the Italian zombie movie with the shark and all the rest of it, the girl getting her eye poked. That movie does the exact same thing, except it does it with the humor and the completely over the top gore.
Exactly.
It's there to impact. It's there to be transgressive and make you think. You know, wow, what have I just seen?
Yeah.
Well, my number three is one that kind of falls into the same camp of the. It's a stupid movie. It's but I still like it, and it's also, once again, I'm being contradictory what I keep saying. This is one that, you know, takes place largely within the I don't even know how to explain. It's a 2006 film, Fido. Has anybody seen it but myself?
Mm-mm. It's
sure.
Number 7 on my list.
Isn't that
or
a
eight on my list,
weird movie?
It's a good film.
It's Billy Connolly. It's good,
though,
but it's fucking Billy Connolly. I love Billy Connolly.
It's totally a
I've seen it on Netflix. I haven't
weird.
Watched it.
It's about a boy and a zombie.
It's a boy and a zombie.
Like his pet zombie?
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And Billy Connolly
is a zombie.
Why haven't I watched this?
I don't know.
It's,
oh my god! I would love it.
It's really cheesy.
I think I just peed a little. I'm so excited.
The styling of the movie is very 1950s.
Quite.
And it's a really cheesetastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, but I have not watched it yet, so I'll have to check that out.
But yep. I think the basics of it is there are zombies in it, but
Netflix.
They've developed these collars.
I don't believe it is anymore.
Oh.
But they have these collars. Crystal has it on DVD.
Okay.
Sweet.
They have collars that make the zombies docile, and so they use them as pets and as laborers and stuff like that. And Fido's about one they call, his name is Fido,
mm-hmm.
Whose collar malfunctions. So, yep. It's a really cheesy movie.
I like it, though.
But Billy Connolly is the zombie.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's one of those movies that I heard about when it was being made, and I was like, what? Weird.
Why? Huh?
Yeah.
And then it works in spite of itself and doesn't work all at the same time. But you've seen it, James?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good film. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess this brings us down to Ethan's number dos.
My number dos, easily one of the funniest damn movies I've ever seen, is Shaun of the Dead.
Great fucking movie.
Yes, Shaun of the Dead, Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, come on.
That's my number one.
Movie that introduced them to the awesomitude that they are. It's such an homage and such a play on other zombie movies, a lot of which I haven't seen.
But it's respectful.
But it's very respectful. I mean, the zombies are a serious threat, but it's mm-hmm. it's following these idiots.
Yeah.
And then he keeps a zombie friend, so it's a win.
Yes, and at the end he still has a zombie friend who's mm-hmm. much the same as he was beforehand.
Eats a little bit more brains.
So, I mean, it easily ranks up there as one of my favorites because it's got some great heartfelt moments in there.
Terrifying moments in it, too.
Yeah, it's got some scary moments in there. It's got, you genuinely are worried that these people are all going to be horribly killed and maimed.
Right.
But then you have very human moments where, he has to kill his mom.
Yep.
And, we've had this great comedy throughout this whole movie. With great dialogue, great script, great story, and then he has to turn around and do this absolutely terrible thing, which is just heart wrenching. And it's this obvious, these buffoons get thrust into a real over their head situation, and have to turn around, have to deal with it in their own way. And it's a great movie. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's a fantastic one. And Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
Whose was this?
Ethan's
number two.
Okay, that's on my list. We see.
Yep.
It's my number one.
I've got that at number eight. I think that the greatest thing about that is the whole subtext for Shaun and
Liz.
And Liz, their relationship this is covered in one of the essays in the Time for the Walking Dead.
Yep. I was going to bring it up.
Which was pretty clever. It's the idea that their relationship is stagnant.
Their relationship really is a zombie.
The movie is about Liz trying to get Shaun to commit and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is to the end. And the zombies are a manifestation of everything that could tear their relationship apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying that train of thought through, it's kind of disquieting though that he keeps Ed at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's there to fuck him up later, and it's going to.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the idea that you can compartmentalize your life, that can be something. Well, mm-hmm. That's not really what I do every day now, but I keep it out in the shed.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Without delving too deep into this movie, it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
We've talked about some movies that have been this is movie created a genre. I mean, this movie pretty much brought out the zombity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you had so many movies come out that were emulating
this. Maybe Fido, maybe. This is the only movie I comfortably call a zombie.
Sure.
Because
it actually tapped into stuff from the 80s. There were movies like Return of the Living Dead and Reanimator from the 80s, which really, it didn't go in for the gore shock value that either of those movies had.
Sure.
But those were, or Evil Dead, too. They're essentially comedies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the thing that Shaun of the Dead did better than them is it's a better story, better characters, it's a better film.
Yep, all around.
For me, goes to show if you have good characters in a movie, I mean, that's a huge battle. That's a huge win for you. And Shaun of the Dead was just amazing. And I remember seeing that movie and just laughing my ass off. It was so funny.
And you can watch that movie multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
And recognize stuff in it. The one of the scenes that stuck out for me the second or third time I've seen it, I saw it, was when he walks off to the store,
every
morning, and he goes out and it's the typical day, and then he comes back and they do the exact parallel shot with all the zombie stuff around him
and
he doesn't notice.
The beautiful thing about that, I mean, the thing I love to say about that movie is it's so well made.
Yep.
It's well shot. It's well edited. It's well written. It's just a really well done movie.
One of my favorite things about it is it's one of the only zombie movies I can think of that exists in a universe that has zombie movies.
Right.
Because they call, because, you know, he try, Ed tries to call him zombies. He's like, Ed, don't say the Zed word. And it's just, just one of those, it's a refreshing, great movie. It's a good choice. Very good choice, Ethan.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's moving on to Beth's number two.
My number two is Zombieland. We've talked a lot about that. Let's keep going.
We have. James, what's your number two?
My number two is White Zombie.
Very good movie.
White Zombie.
Victor Halpern. Yep.
Yep. And it's we had talked about it a little bit. The Bela Lugosi. I'm always a sucker for Bela Lugosi movies.
Sure.
The thing to recommend that movie is people need to watch it up to the point where they're grinding the sugar cane, and you watch the zombie fall into the sugar cane, and the rest of the zombies just keep going into the crusher for it. That is a scene that will, the first time you see that movie,
we lose him.
Still there?
It's a really cool film.
I really, really, really dig that one. I had it earlier. It's on Netflix. It is
streaming on Netflix. Yeah,
it's streaming on Netflix, but it's also royalty free now. So it's probably on YouTube and everywhere else too. So
yeah, and it's not that long. It's an hour and 10, hour and 20 minutes.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a 1932 film. Rachel, number dose.
So this, I think we've already talked about, is the old Dawn of the Dead, 1978. I pretty much already said what I wanted to say about this one. I liked the mall aspect. I like
the humanity.
What's his name? Riding on the motorcycle that he appears in all the Romero movies and remakes.
Midget on a motorcycle.
What's his name? I can't remember.
Tom Savini.
Yeah, that guy. I don't know. It's just it's good. It's the mall. It's the original. It's Romero. So that's all I have to say about that.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we're on to
my number two. Now we're gonna get into my Romero. I keep on going back and forth on this because man, do I love Night of the Living Dead, but I also probably evenly like Day of the Dead. I really like Day of the Dead, and I one of the main reasons why I like it as much as it is if I have a problem with the 95% of all zombie movies is they end right where I want to start paying attention, you know, because, you know, they get through that night of, they get through that night of, holy crap, the dead's coming back to life, we need to survive, and, we need to get to a really good shelter, and we need to, do everything. And
kind
then,
of takes off where the what happens after that.
Exactly, and that's what Day of the Dead is. It's like, okay, we get it, the dead are rising, it sucks, what are we going to do about it? And there's still chaos. I mean, it still doesn't go any better. And, they have, doctors working on it. People still suck. And, they have, the best zombie fortification they could ever have, ever. And it doesn't particularly help them too much. I really, really like it. And I also really like Bub the zombie. I mean, and it's not... he's not a Fido-type zombie. I mean, he's a zombie. But, he's been satisfied to a certain degree. He's fed, and he's given whatever, and he's somewhat docile, and he kills Colonel Rhodes at the end of the movie.
If you're gonna have a pet, you have to feed and water it. Brains and brains.
If I had my druthers, when he killed Colonel Rhodes at the end, he would have shot him. He would have just eaten him or something. But I can't have my cake and eat it too.
One of the things about that and the whole Bub subplot in that movie is this gets into an area that zombie movies explore, especially with things like Fido and even Shaun of the Dead at the end. What do the zombies keep that's human when they come back?
There's always that residual stuff.
Exactly. Well, and it's the Dawn of the Dead. Why do they come to the mall? They don't know. Exactly. It's important to them in their lives. And that gets into the definitions of humanity and what separates them from the people that are living. And what you were just saying about they've got the best base in the world to hide from the zombies. And in zombie movies, a lot of times it's not the zombies that kill the characters. It's the characters that kill the characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what happens in this one. I don't know. Personally, I feel it's it's a little bit underrated. I mean, trust me, I'm not saying it's better than Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead, but I think it's discounted too quickly because I like it quite a bit. I especially do like the I like the fact that it's not, you know, at the outset of the zombie apocalypse. I mean, it's a certain time later. You know, they're fortified. They have supplies. They're not looking for something to eat. They're not trying to nail a door to the window. So, no, I mean, it's what they're doing about it on a grander scale. And I just find it interesting because of that.
There are certain parts about that movie that I really like, but I think I actually dislike the whole fact that they're fortified in this military base where
it's
they can't
unique.
Escape very well. I mean, to me, it's just like,
well, it's stupid.
Where are we going to run once they get in? I mean,
but
as zombie survival aspect goes, it's kind of
well. I mean, it's also, but at the same time, that's almost kind of cool, you know, because they're patting themselves on the head because they're so fucking smart because nothing can get in. Well. There's the flip side to that, too. You can't get out either. And
yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Know. I mean, it's a good movie. And what I'm just saying, I think it's discounted too quickly, and I think it deserves a second look.
The best part about it is Bub, and that's pretty much
I like Bub.
Yeah.
I like Bub. He's cool. I want a Bub. So I guess this is, at this point, bringing us down to our number ones.
Yep.
So, Ethan,
we expected.
What's your number one?
My number one's movie we've mentioned. It's the original Night of the Living Dead.
You like that one? I didn't know you'd seen it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
It is one of those movies. For me, it defines to me what a zombie movie is. And
very much so.
You know, when you said, "Hey, we're doing a zombie movie show," this is sort of what I thought about. Okay, what do I take away from a zombie movie? And what I think this movie does really, really well. Romero sort of gets cliched at was the whole social commentary and how the zombies are the villain of the movie, but not really.
Yeah.
We sort of touched a bit on it, you know, with James mentioning it earlier. But it's just a classic, and you know, it established the genre of what we consider to be a zombie movie, and it goes back to this movie.
Right or wrong, it did do that.
It's got a lot of achievement for it for lasting as long. It's way low budget. It's definitely a movie that some could say doesn't really withstand the test of time. I think it's still a great movie today.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's beautifully made. So I mean, you know, it's that's my number one. We sort of talked about it a little bit earlier. So Night of the Living Dead.
I actually just rewatched that on Halloween with my son.
Yeah.
He's 14.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to see a zombie movie, and that's the place to start.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a really good place to start.
It's the starting point. It's and this movie's more of a character piece. You know, I mean, it's more of a character study type of movie, and that just happens to feature zombies. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a very, very, very good one. I really enjoy it.
With that movie, I like the whole battle over. Is it better to stay up here on the regular floor or go down to the basement where we can protect ourselves one door?
Right.
And it's like, you know, do we close ourselves off completely or do we stay open where we can get out if we need be?
Mm-hmm. My interpretation of that was always more, it wasn't necessarily saying which is better. It was more of an argument about who was in charge.
Oh,
yes.
Absolutely right.
Yes.
And that was and the great irony in that is, of course, that the Dwayne Jones character is wrong.
Yeah.
Because he ends up in the basement.
Yeah.
Where Mr. Cooper had been right. Gee, it is actually easier. But it doesn't mean that Mr. Cooper was right the way he was trying to control the group.
Yeah. Right. And that's exactly it. And that was exactly it. He wasn't right. He was wrong, and Ben was wrong. I mean, everything in that movie is fucking wrong, and that's what's so fun about it at the same time. It's one that I haven't watched in a couple of months, but I watch it pretty often. I like it quite a bit. It's a good one. Beth, you said your number one was Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I think it's just such a good film.
It's a great movie. Yeah,
it's one that I can like just plop in and just enjoy, you know?
It is a movie you can watch. You can come in the middle of that movie and still watch it.
Exactly.
What it is.
So, for me, it's just perfect.
Well, to me, it's a dynamic movie that you can put in and watch it, and really sort of analyze it and see a lot of the fun stuff. And it's one you can just put on as background noise. I mean, and it's just one of those great movies of our time.
You really could put it on for background noise, but chances are it's going to.
I always get caught in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
I'm like, I'm going to put this in and do some math homework.
I said it before. It's just such a smart. Witty movie, and that's what I love about it. There's too many movies nowadays sort of assume that you're an idiot.
Yep.
And
I like movies that are smart about
that,
you know,
assume that,
that
you're smart.
That have, you know, it's like, okay, you have a brain, you know, and they, so they write good dialogue and they write a good movie, and that's a good movie.
The thing that I like about this movie, because it's also it's my number one, is just that they, you know, they go to what they know. I mean, it's like, what do we know that we feel safe at?
We know the pub.
The Winchester.
Yeah,
that
we know the
safe.
Winchester. Yeah. For me, it'd probably be the mall, apparently.
I like the scene where they meet up with the other group and
they're exactly
you're like, oh, you're going this way.
Exactly like, yeah.
Ooh, oh, you're going this way. Ooh, well, good luck then.
And then at the end, how they fight through all this crap and then all of a sudden, there's their saviors, and they could have just waited it out, and they would have been fine. You know,
exactly. Followed them. And,
those kind of movies piss me off, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, of course. So, yeah, that's also my number one.
Very cool.
I love it. I love it.
So I guess we'll just go to your number one, right?
No.
James is
number one.
I had Sean on my list at number eight, so I'm with you on that one. It's a really, really good film. My number one was the 78 Romero Dawn of the Dead.
Nice. Good choice.
Done.
I want to hear you talk about this one. I kind of stifled it earlier because I didn't want you to get interrupted, but I want to hear your thoughts on this movie.
Well, I think, you know, I think it does everything that Night of the Living Dead does. He's got a better budget. He's got a little more freedom to actually expand upon some of the ideas. I really love the social commentary stuff about consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that it does really well is it manages to balance all of that stuff. So it's what we were just talking about with Shaun of the Dead, and that's actually a lot of these movies. You can watch it as just a gory horror film, and it's great at that. You can watch it as a character story, and it's great at that. You watch it as a commentary on consumerism and American values, and that's all in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those eclipse the other. They're all really nicely balanced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the cool part, I think, about a lot of zombie films. Because people immediately have that visceral reaction to them, oh my God, look at the gore. And Walking Dead on TV does this well, too. It can be about other things and sneak that material in.
Yeah.
So
The
Walking Dead can have comments about sexism and racism. You know, Dawn of the Dead can be about consumerism and have that commentary, and it sneaks up on you.
It seems to have everything, but yet it's a zombie film.
Do you have a preferred cut?
You know, I like all of them, and I've actually seen probably all the different cuts. I don't particularly like the ones where they survive.
Yeah, that was the theatrical, if I remember correctly. I want to say it's the international cut when he ends up shooting himself and she wrecks the helicopter. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there are differences in the cuts.
And the zombie apocalypse has just started there, hasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse of felines. It's a scary thought. Scary thought.
We're doomed.
There's another. Zombie cats.
Oh,
that,
God.
That could be the next one.
Would not want to see that.
I'd rather not see zombie
birds. They did
burgers.
Pet Cemetery, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Birds, that's
definitely.
True.
Yeah.
Not Pet Cemetery 2.
There's also Pet Cemetery 2. There's two of them.
Yeah, there are.
And so that brings us to Aaron's number one.
My number one, and my number one, Shaun of the Dead.
Woo-hoo.
I didn't bring it up the same time as everybody else because I have a little thing I have to add to it. I mean, I've been waxing philosophical all the way through this list and talking social ramifications and, you know, the character studies and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, this is the one I visit the most. It's the one that makes it into my DVD player the most. And there's also certain...
That's what she said.
Is what she said. There's also certain things about it that... I've never heard other people talk about, and I find incredibly interesting. I'm woefully underexposed to the zombie genres, zombie movies. It's one of the only ones I can think of that is English. And, you know, and I understand that there's other ones that are made in England. But, you know, one of the things that's cool about a zombie movie made in England is what don't England people have? Guns. You know, in the fucking American movies, you know,
everyone's
everybody's
got
a
gun.
And this one, they chose...
Golf club.
Winchester is familiar. They like going to it. But they also partially choose it on the hope that the gun is actually activated. Yeah. It's just I really love this movie. I do think that
probably several of these movies are probably better, and they're probably, you know, better additions to the zombie genre, but I like this one the best.
It's probably one of the most entertaining zombie movies. I mean, it gives you everything you need out of a zombie movie. It gives you the gore, it gives you the fun, it gives you the
characters.
Camp, it gives you the characters. Pretty much everything that you would want or need out of a zombie movie. So...
So very good.
Agree.
It's got
agree.
Simon Pegg in it, and damn, he's funny.
Yeah.
He is
funny.
And it's also got Martin Freeman.
Yeah.
It's got some people.
And all kinds of people. So I guess that brings us down to the end of our list. Why don't we get our rundowns done and out of the way, and we'll stick a fork in this guy.
All righty. Well, you know,
I don't know.
As I explained at the beginning of this, you know, I've seen maybe 20 zombie movies, and most of them were awful.
Mm-hmm.
So the list here starts with ones that's awful, but less awful than others. My number 10 is Reanimator.
I like Reanimator.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah. Not a good movie is not an adjective I use to describe Reanimator. And speaking of not a good movie, there's Land of the Dead. Fido is my number 8. Evil Dead 2 is my number 7. Then we get to Zombieland at number 6. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari at number 5. Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 remake, at number 4. 28 Days Later at number 3. Shaun of the Dead at number 2. And the original Night of the Living Dead at number 1.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Beth. What's your list?
When I was making my list, I realized I haven't seen enough zombie movies for my massive love of zombies, so I only have 8, actually.
Good enough.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, that needs to be worked on. Okay, so my number 8 is...
So your number 9 and 10 is The Walking Dead TV series. No.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Oh, cool. Okay, so my number 6 is Evil Dead 2, 5... zombies!
Wait, what happened?
What's your number 8?
No, I'm just skipping over those. Not kidding. 8 is Evil Dead, the original.
1, 2.
7 is Dawn of the Dead, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
6 is Evil Dead 2. 5 is Zombies. 4 is I Am Legend. 3 is Dawn of the Dead from 1978. 2 is Zombieland, and 1 is Shaun of the Dead.
Woohoo!
Excellent.
That brings us to James.
Ooh.
You there?
James?
What's up? I am.
You have to do your rundown now.
Okay. I've seen just kind of a stupid number of zombie films. I've got the opposite problem.
I wish
you did write a book, so.
I had done a lot of reviews of zombie films over time, and I've seen a lot of the really just incredibly crummy ones.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple, and I'll mention a couple quick before I do the 10 rundown.
He makes up for
Ethan, you should
ones.
See I Walked with a Zombie. If you're looking for a really good classic, that's a Val Lewton movie. You should love it. That and like the Tombs of the Blind Dead series, the Spanish Blind Templar skeleton zombies, and the British film Plague of the Zombies too, which is kind of a pre-Romero. That's the direction zombies would have gone in if Romero hadn't kind of taken things off with Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those they're not on my list, but they're especially I Walked with a Zombie, great film. My number 10 is a 1986 movie, Night of the Creeps, directed by Fred Decker, the guy that did the Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm.
It's got characters named Romero and Cronenberg, and they go to Corman University. So right by that, the film fans should get into it. It's actually about a couple of college kids. There's these alien slugs that turn people into zombies, and they have to defend the sorority house against them.
Sounds like my life.
It's yes, and when you mentioned the sorority earlier, I thought, oh, Night of the Creeps, all right. So that one actually is well worth tracking down. Not a lot of people have seen that. My number 9 is Reanimator, which actually I really like. I don't know what you don't like about that movie.
It's Jeffrey Combs.
Exactly.
Hey, I love Jeffrey Combs,
Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. What is wrong with you? Number 8 is Shaun of the Dead. Number 7 is the 1985 movie Return of the Living Dead.
See, that one is so much fun, and I couldn't put it anywhere near my list. I mean,
I had mixed... I almost put I Walked with a Zombie there, but I think I think I actually have watched Return of the Living Dead more than I've watched I Walked with a Zombie.
I've definitely watched that one more times than I would think off the top of my head.
Yep. And that's the one that actually kind of added in the whole brains thing.
Yeah.
Really, it comes out of Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, like, when they think, oh, zombies, ooh, brains. You know, most zombie movies, they don't talk. That one, they do.
No, that's right. That comes up in the mid-80s, yeah.
Or Send More Cops, that always cracks me up.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, that was, yeah.
it's an entertaining film.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Six is Pontypool. Five is The Original Night of the Living Dead. Four is The Fulci Zombie from 1979. Three is Cemetery Man. Two is White Zombie. And one is the 1978 Dawn of the Dead.
Very cool.
So that brings me to my list. Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
So number 10 is the Dylan Dog, Dead of Night. It's not technically a zombie movie. It's more supernatural, but the sidekick is a newly minted zombie, and he's learning about how to be a zombie and get his body parts and blah, 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 blah. And I just thought the whole body parts thing was just hilarious. So I kind of enjoyed that. Number 9 is, it's actually a French zombie film called The Horde, or
right.
La Horde.
La Horde.
It's, you know, it's kind of corny, it's kind of stupid, it's kind of silly, but I like the whole gangsters and cops working together, and then the old man from the apartment building that they're in is just hilarious. Mm-hmm. He just comes out and he kicks some serious ass with his axe and all kinds of shit, and I don't know, their whole working their way through the building, killing the zombies the way they do, it just kind of cracks me up. So that made my list. Number 8 is Aw, Zombies. I just like the whole, you know, from the zombie aspect. Number 7 is Night of the Comet, which, you know, I really did not realize that The Undead was a remake of that. Mm-hmm. Number 6, Dawn of the Dead, the new one, the 2004. Number 5 is Undead. Number 4 is Zombieland. 3 is Dead Alive. 2, Old Dawn of the Dead. 2 is...
term original.
Yeah, original. number 1 is Shaun of the Dead.
Very good.
And that brings to Aaron.
Well, my number 10 was the Night of the Living Dead remake, the 1990. My number 9 was Pet Sematary for no other reasons than I have warm, fuzzy memories of it from when I was a kid. My number 8 was the original Dawn of the Dead. My number 7 was Diary of the Dead. I just think that a lot of people like to discount that, because a lot of people like to discount Romero movies that are not Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead. And I think Diary of the Dead is not horrible. But Survival of the Dead is not good. And then number 6 was Serpent of the Rainbow. Number 5 was Night of the Comet. Number 4 was White Zombie. Number 3 was Fido. Number 2 was Day of the Dead. And number 1 was Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. So. Well, movies can end up on your list for, you know, weird reasons. Yep. One of the reasons I ended up with Night of the Creeps on my list was just, I'm putting together the list, and I thought, you know, it's got a couple of Stan Ridgway songs in it. That's extra bonus points for me. So, all right, that bumps I Walked with a Zombie.
Yeah.
So, all the lists were really, really good. I mean, interesting stuff.
Yeah. As always, we have a different idea of what a zombie movie is or what fits into what genre. That's
or, you know,
thing,
whether or not.
But what I think is funny is Ethan's over here saying,
apparently,
I've
really
only seen
them all.
I've only seen 20 zombie movies and half of them sucked. And you're like, I've seen, you know, 20,000 zombie movies
and
five of them didn't suck. And I'm like, I've seen 20,000 zombie movies and 15,000 of them sucked, and it's a weird place to be in, because, yeah, man, there's some stinkers out there.
Sitting there making my list going, okay, let's start. Let's see, I've seen 3 of the Resident Evil movies, and those aren't going anywhere near my list.
Those make me want to vomit in my mouth.
That's right.
In fact, I just did.
Well, the whole Confessions of a Movie Snob thing comes from Resident Evil, the third Resident Evil movie. I said I hated that movie. And my sister-in-law was like, well, you're just a movie snob. And I'm like, if hating that movie makes me a movie snob,
then sign me up.
Because that movie was crap.
You know, there was parts of the first one that I actually kind of liked, but for the most part, it was just kind of
I can enjoy the second one just for pure action, you know, and craziness.
You know, that's true. That's
none
true.
Of the others. I didn't even bother with
I think the first one, the reason why I liked it is because I liked, I can't remember her name now. What's the hot cop chick? The Latino type. chick.
Michelle
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I love her. She's just gorgeous. Anyway, so that's probably why I like that movie.
I think the only reason I even watch those movies were for eye candy.
Yeah.
So,
and so
yeah,
I definitely need to see the old Dawn of the Dead and all that. Because really, I only saw
we have both
a little bit of
whoa,
it.
Whoa! Holy shit! You scared me.
Only saw a little bit of it, and the only other Romero movies I've seen was Land of the Dead and the original Night of the Living Dead, and that's it. So
okay, but I mean, even if you want to see cheesy zombie movies that have at least that. Boy, this is just an odd film kind of thing going for it. You've got to look back at especially a lot of the 70s stuff.
Yeah, there's some good zombie movies from the 70s and 80s.
And this whole zombie night has made me realize that I really need to catch up on my zombie movies.
Same
I mean,
here.
Like, I just need to crack down on it.
I just love them so
I need
much.
To watch me The too. Walking Dead. So,
well,
yeah.
Oh, Walking Dead.
That's happening after we're done with Doctor Who.
Yeah, we got to finish up this new season of Doctor Who right now. So.
Ah.
You can borrow a Blu-ray.
No, they can't. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Your Blu-rays all the time.
Do you want to borrow it?
Yeah.
Then take it. I just didn't think you wanted to. I was trying to be funny.
Sorry, go ahead, James.
Take Dawn of the Dead, too,
if you
want.
Even a 70s blaxploitation zombie movie.
Oh,
what was that called?
That was Sugar Hill and her zombie hitmen.
Yes. I saw that at a film festival.
Oh,
that
no.
was fucking horrible. It was so good,
oh,
though.
Speaking of horrible, what was it? It was the Poltergeist.
Oh, God.
Really bad, good movies.
It was.
At Gen Con this last... Just Gen Con this last August, Beth and I tried to go out over to the film
We tried to have a date at the film festival to watch
Poltergeist.
We thought it would be kitschy
and
silly.
Oh my god, we made it through about 5 minutes and left. It was so
awful. And there was
awful.
Some guy eating awful food there.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I actually worked on a zombie puppet movie that's in production.
Nice.
I can see that being fun kitschy.
They did this Muppet-style puppet movie called Misfit Heights, and it's
nice.
And you can actually find trailers and stuff. On my Facebook page, there's a picture of me covered in studio gore.
I saw that.
Nice.
Because I was holding up one of the puppets, and I found out that I was the gore magnet. Whenever blood was going to fly,
I know how that feels.
Yes,
Muppets.
Beth and I went to see the Evil Dead musical and sat in the splatter zone, and Beth was the target. So
nice. Yep.
I got it in the eye. It was awful.
That's what she said.
There are pictures on Facebook, and yeah, we're pretty much drenched. It's pretty awesome.
Right on.
I highly recommend, James, if you have not been to Evil Dead the musical, that if it comes around your way, you must see it.
I will go out of my way to find that. I know that there are
it's very cost effective
too that are doing like Night of the Living Dead Christmas things.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That sort of stuff too, which are just made of awesome too.
You know, something that I recommend if you're a zombie
awesome
fan,
zombies.
If you're a zombie fan, is to go to any kind of zombie walk that you have near you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
They have one at Gen Con.
We have one here in Kansas.
They have one here in Lawrence, and it was the first year that I went this last year, and my 6-year-old daughter decided to go with us.
Nice.
And
she didn't like the
a zombie Santa Claus.
Nice.
And at first I saw it, I was like, oh my god, try to shield her, and she saw it, and I felt her stiffen up next to me, and I'm like, oh my god, it's all over, she's gonna hate Santa.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but it scared the crap out of me, because I thought it would scare the crap out of her.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. So zombie walks are fun. That's all I gotta say.
Well, maybe gamers who care will go for a zombie walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And
maybe
there,
we'll
and
make
that's
that
the
happen.
Other part is, yeah. I mean, the number of zombie games out right now is astounding.
We're gonna try to invite a zombie walk to CanCon. How's that?
I would love for that to happen. I already have my nurse's outfit from Evil
I'm trying
Dead.
To get,
and not
I'm trying
it.
To get stormtroopers to show up this next year. So yeah.
Right on.
Get a hold of the 501st in Kansas City.
Yeah, I know.
They probably will.
I know. I got to get the website sorted out first. So.
I'm not sure where we would walk on the Johnson County Community College campus and if they would like that, because with the bikers for babies or whatever, it might make some people uncomfortable.
So?
Zombie bikers for babies. It's perfect and terrifying.
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome.
So, so what? That was everybody's number one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody's lists, I guess.
Good job, everybody.
What are we doing next week, Rachel?
I have no idea. What are we doing, Aaron?
Next week we're doing Christmas shows, guys.
No, we're not.
we've done that before.
We've done that before.
New Year's shows. No, wait.
No.
We are doing a year-in-review type of thing.
We're doing a year-in-review with Edward Douglas.
Interview.
ComingSoon.net.
He's going to kick all of our asses.
Well, I've seen every movie that's come out this year.
I'm going to be like, okay, Captain America, Thor, Super 8.
So, James, what would your number one be for the year in review?
He doesn't like watching movies.
He doesn't like watching movies?
Yeah, that's right. I've been spending so much time today thinking about zombie movies, I can't think of a single movie that came out this year.
The Walking Dead, hey.
Hey, you can talk about TV shows, that's really good.
How about...
The Lion King 3D.
Best new movie.
Right there.
What's crazy about the way movie viewing has changed is because you see things on Netflix, everything just came out this year.
Yeah.
It seems
like that. Because stuff is streaming and it's the first time you've seen it this year. You know, Pontypool came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I just saw it a couple of months ago because it was brand new. It hadn't come around to this part of, you know, I'm outside of Milwaukee. I'm sure you guys run into the same problem. Yeah. A lot of first run films don't make it outside of the big cities in the country.
Yeah.
So suddenly this is new. So Pontypool was new for me.
I think it's new for everybody in at least in America. I think
it was big in the Toronto Film Festival, and then it traveled around to some of the bigger cities. I know.
Right. It was in Fest, and then I think it finally got a DVD release not too long ago.
Right.
Because I know that everybody was discovering that movie like, you know, August, September, something like that.
Right.
So it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one. But, yeah, next week we are doing our year in review. We're going to be talking to Edward Douglas. We're going to be talking about our favorite films of 2011. It should be good. I don't know if I've seen 10 films in 2011.
I think much like this list, you know, I've seen 10 films, but some of them have been bad. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But as always, James, it's a lot of fun having you on. I did not mean to call you Christopher. That was Rachel.
That was like three times.
Because Chris is a mutual friend, and I actually take it as a compliment.
Well,
but remember, you are the most downloaded.
You are the most downloaded. Well, and in my defense, we had him on 2 weeks in a row, and I've been editing his shows for a week straight. So I'm
No defense.
Somebody needs to edit Chris, so that's okay.
Well, I'm mostly editing us. You know, everything Christopher says is gold. You know,
of course, we're over on the new website now, and we're also Russian free.
Oh, are we Russian free?
We are Russian free.
What does that mean?
We got this weird Russian plugin.
We got hacked. But it wasn't a severe one like we used to get. But someone hacked the site to try to redirect it to some Russian website that had malware on it, and so they basically can say that we were the Red Dawn of podcasts.
Wolverines. Yeah.
Wow.
And but, so yeah, we're on confessionsofamoviesnob.com, right?
Yep, confessionsofamoviesnob.com.
So what's happening to the phone?
What about it?
Are you going to auction it or something?
For charity.
Woohoo!
I'll give it away at CanCon.
You can give it away at CanCon.
Oh, money! Damn it!
I don't care what happens to the phone. You can give it away at CanCon.
I'll give you a dollar. Sad.
You give me a dollar.
Yeah. But yeah,
$2 make you holla.
100.
It's a.
I'll give you 100 pennies.
Shh.
Well, we do stuff at CanCon, so we might be able to take that off your hands.
Okay, that sounds good. We worked so hard spray painting it in my backyard. Come on, people.
Maybe I should put that plug in on the phone.
We worked so hard spray painting this in my backyard.
Yeah. Perfect.
Nice.
And
okay.
Yeah.
Did we lose him again?
No. Nope, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, it's hard to tell.
I'm just letting the chaos run.
Okay,
that's probably not a good plan.
It's done. It's done, Beth. It's done.
You just got shushed by Rachel. Whoa.
Yes. Okay, so that
now you get to go to your room.
Our
fine.
Zombie films.
Yes, zombies.
Next week we'll be talking about Christmas movies.
That brings
Aaron the outro.
We've made him speechless. It's amazing.
Okay. Let your zombie flag fly.